Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The global economy. I welcome Liz Peek, columnist at Fox News, columnist at The Hill, commenting on the global economy after this headline printing in these last hours at the Journal. IMF cuts 2023 global growth forecast, citing inflation, war, and China's slowdown. New report scales back U.S. economic outlook as Fed raises rates. All in those headlines is the tension of the moment at the Federal Reserve, at the Treasury, and certainly in the halls of Congress facing midterms. We begin with the report from Washington. Global economic growth is likely to slow next year more than previously expected, the International Monetary Fund said. The IMF attributed the weaker outgrowth primarily to the effects of inflation, Russia's invasion, slowdown in China because of COVID-19 lockdowns. The global economy will expand 2.7% in 23, down from 3.2% in 22. And we did 6% in 21 when we thought we were rescued by the vaccine, and now it's time to prosper. Liz, a very good evening to you. The IMF is telling us something that we've been talking about for weeks. There's a global slowdown. Let's speak to what it says is doing it. Inflation, that's the supply chain, that's the pandemic. The invasion of Ukraine, that's Putin, and slowdown in China, COVID-19, that's Xi. Now, we can't do anything about Putin. We can't do anything about Xi. Can we do anything about inflation here in the U.S.? Good evening to you, Liz.
Good evening, John. Well, you forgot to mention inflation being also the result of 0% interest rates for years and years and an unprecedented amount of fiscal stimulus, federal spending, taking place not only in the U.S., but also globally. So, you know, I think the Federal Reserve obviously is now got the bit in its teeth. They've already hiked rates 75 basis points on 3 occasions, and they're expected to do so again in November. That is a huge change, obviously. And also it is a huge change that they're now shrinking their balance sheet. The combined effect of those two things is probably that the United States goes into a recession next year. I think that's becoming more and more the expected outlook. But I would say that the Fed should be chastised for two things. One, being so late to the party. I think almost everybody now agrees that the Fed stood back and made one excuse after another as inflation spiraled upwards for why it was happening, how it was going to be temporary, and it was supply chains, and those would naturally get resolved by time passing, and that they didn't really need to step in. Finally, they did step in, and we can always surmise, you know, why Jay Powell waited so long until after he was renominated. But I'd say the other thing that people are going to come around to being very critical about, John, is that the Fed has been acting like the United States is alone in the world. We are not. And we've seen before. In fact, I go back to when Janet Yellen was chairman of the Fed just a few years ago, and she began raising rates even though Europe was slowing down. And all of a sudden she had to do an about face. Why? Because we were sending our virus of slowdown around the world, and basically it could have caused disruption. Now we're doing that on steroids. And I think, frankly, I think it's astonishing we haven't been talking about Europe being in recession, China experiencing growth rates a fraction of what they've seen over the last 20 or 30 years, and how a strong dollar might affect both of those groups of countries, but also the underdeveloped countries who always are slammed by a really strong dollar. And boy, has the dollar been on a fast ramp upwards, excuse me. So I think the Fed has sort of bungled this. You know, I wrote a piece about a year and a half ago saying how soon will it be before the Democrats jump on Jay Powell and blame him for all their problems? Without a doubt, we're going to see more and more of that because the Fed has really, as I say, softened the U.S. economy. Housing is in a downward spiral now because mortgage rates are over 6%. You can kind of go through one industry after another. Not all of our economic problems stem from Federal Reserve activity, of course. The Biden administration has had a completely boneheaded approach to energy, which has meant they have not allowed our domestic oil and gas producers to ramp up production. That is a huge cost to not only the United States, but the world. But honestly, you know, you kind of sit back and look at what's happening, and it is not good. And I'm afraid the stock market is reflecting that.
There is a story on Wall Street that the Fed's tightening, tighter and tighter. Another jumbo hike. They're going to do that until something breaks. Now, that's the actual phrase, something breaks. Artful, isn't it? Well, they're referring to a fear that we can't name. It's like a black swan, but something breaking, and that's happened in the past. Something breaks. It happened in 2008, you'll all recall, when Mom and Dad America had their mortgage shaken because something broke. It was a series of events in large investment banks out of New York, but that linked to the easy mortgage gaining of the early part of this century. Something broke. Now, this is the IMF's list for something breaking. What we have here, Liz, is a situation where they don't know what's going to break, and it's probably none of these, but this is their guessing. Central banks' potential miscalculations. Raising interest rates to battle inflation, causing dollar appreciation. That's one. More unexpected increases in energy and food prices and reduced natural gas supplies. That's two. Banking crisis in China triggered by property sector. That's three. New global health scares. Now, those are the monsters we can name. It's probably, if there's something breaks, it won't be one of those. But do you have a choice, Liz?
Well, I think that, you know, look, we can't concern ourselves with health scares because we have no idea where they're coming from. Who saw COVID-19 coming? Nobody did. But I think we can certainly look at some of those other issues. I think the good news, and there always is some good news, is that the American companies, by and large, and I would guess most European companies, too, are in pretty good shape in terms of balance sheet. I say that because other people are saying that, frankly, and I haven't really looked at those numbers. It worries me that with interest rates having been near zero for so long, that American companies did borrow a lot of money because it was just sort of unavoidable. I mean, how can you resist 0% borrowing, right? So I'm not sure that we won't see that there are some companies, some sectors, which perhaps do not have sound balance sheets. But right now, I know the banks are in good shape because I have looked at those numbers, and that's what really sort of fell apart in 2008, as you recall. We had bank failures and, you know, tremendous concerns about the integrity of the financial system. I don't think that's the case now. I do wonder about companies, but I keep reading that they're in good shape. I certainly hope that that's true. It's more likely, it seems to me, that you'll just have the beginnings of defaults on mortgages. A lot of people have adjustable rate mortgages, and right now those are going up. That probably won't happen in any large number until the job market starts to weaken. And again, that's the other good news. It's good news and bad news, of course, like everything else these days, but we still have very, very low unemployment. That's good news because Americans can go to work and earn the money they need to pay off their loans and mortgages. The bad news is the labor market being so tight keeps wages going up. And that, unfortunately, will feed into core inflation. As you know, we have a inflation reading, CPI reading coming Thursday of this week. I think what the negative surprise last month was that the core didn't go down. That is, taking out food and energy, we still saw increasing in prices, increasing inflation. And some of that certainly was because of wages. So I think, you know, we'll see what really emerges as a problem here. I think the big picture is the world's slowing down. Some industries will be affected more than others. I think we still have tremendous vulnerability to energy price shocks, whether that's because of more problems in Europe and the Ukraine or simply because OPEC really does mean it and they cut production and prices go up. That's a very complicated geopolitical discussion, which we could spend an hour on. They don't want overly high prices because that ramps up U.S. production in spite of our government, and it ramps up production elsewhere. So, you know, they're going to moderate that. But I do think gasoline prices, which now are going up, are going to be going higher. And that certainly is a political negative for the Democratic Party right now.
You mentioned salaries. Private sector, this is ADP last week after we talked. Private sector employment increased by 208,000 jobs in September. Annual pay was up 7.8% year over year. That guarantees that that core inflation number is not going to retreat significantly. Guarantees.
It's very hard. It's very hard to battle inflation with a tight jobs market because you just have this tension of workers coming to their bosses and saying, hey, look, I just had 13% higher food prices, which is actually the number. I need a raise. And so they get a raise. And then that kind of feeds into the whole system. It's a very difficult situation. And again, particularly when Joe Biden is pushing unions to demand more and more and pushing unionization, the only way that really works is if workers see that joining a union is really beneficial. And the only way they conclude that is if wages go up in those union contracts. So I think those are going to be harder or more lavish coming down the pike. And that's not probably good for core inflation either.
The whispering now is that the Federal Reserve has gone too far too fast. The whispering. Mm-hmm. And that whispering is going to get louder once we clear the midterms. And the Federal Reserve is a political animal, Liz. And reducing the jumbo hike to 0.5% would not actually be retreat, or would it be?
Well, it's a retreat from the expectation now. I think most people have factored in 75, then a 50, then a 25, and kind of getting back to more normal levels. But, John, we have to realize when you're talking about wages up almost 8%, let's say the core number on Thursday comes down to, I don't know, something that would be really viewed as, I think the consensus is 8 or something. Let's say it's 7.5. That'd be viewed as a real win. That's a long way from 2%. My guess is you're going to hear a lot of whispering about the Fed having gone too far. And then you're going to hear whispering about how the Fed's 2% target is unrealistic.
Right.
And my guess is over the next few months, that will change.
Oh,
and
I've seen that already, Liz.
Yeah.
Four is the new 2. Four.
Yeah, exactly. So that's probably not great, but maybe it's realistic. I don't know. My guess is we'll have a moving target. And that kind of produces a lot more volatility. So, you know, we'll see how that works out. But what I do know, people are getting poorer. They're going to spend less. Probably the U.S. is in a recession 3 months from now.
And the housing certainly is in a recession. If we can say that sectors go into recessions at different times, housing, and there was the headline in the Wall Street Journal promising, they're always trying to find a way to read the rest of the article, that the housing recession is helping the Federal Reserve. Do you believe it?
Well, sure, because rents are starting to come down. That won't feed into the numbers we're seeing on house prices and rents probably won't impact this inflation read. But 2 or 3 months from now, it'll begin to have some impact. And, you know, housing is like, what is it, 30% or 40% of the CPI. It's a very big component. And by the way, that was, again, I mean, honestly, I don't really know where the Fed was a year ago, but when house prices really kept going up and up and up, I don't know how the Fed didn't anticipate that that was going to be a very permanent part of the of inflation.
Liz Peek, writing at The Hill, a columnist writing at Fox News, a columnist. We're turning to the midterms next, and some things are new that are old again. I'm John Bash.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.